I think let's just pray for Craig before he goes into the Word and just ask for the Lord's hand upon him. Lord, we just come before you. We thank you for Craig. He's so loyal and faithful to this church and to you as well. We ask that you just be with him now as he ministers your Word, Lord, that it will be you speaking through him and Lord, that your Word will just touch the hearts and minds of people. We ask that you be with him and that you just give him the strength in this time and the right words to say. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you. I'm just going to put this on. I've just got one or two things to do. And then I'll ask you to switch over. Okay. So good morning, everybody. Wonderful to be here. Well, I'm very excited. I really am. And I'm actually very fired up at the moment. We've been away. We've been away with family. We've had a good time. We went away on a trip. We spent time in Cape Town speaking about many things, speaking about family and finances, not Thor and I, but with family and business and things that are unsure and things that have people that are uncertain about. And in our travels and as we were going around, one thing was certain, and that's Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing is, you know, when you press into Jesus Christ, you can get so encouraged and you can get so fired up. And I'm going to share a message this morning, and I'm just hoping it's going to do a few things. It's going to send a few emotions into you, but at the end of the day, it's going to encourage you. And I was just thinking, we were singing, you know, we're going through a lot of trials and tribulations, and we will be going through trials and tribulations. Jesus did say that. He said, I haven't come to take away trials and tribulations. In this world, you will have trouble. But do not fear, I've overcome, and I'm with you. And we need to remember that, because there's certain things and expectations we put on Jesus. And it's not him that's failing us, it's our expectations. So I'm going to touch on that a little bit. The other thing I want to touch on is, you know, we were singing, you know, come Holy Spirit, come. You know, Holy Spirit, come, lead us and guide us and take us. You know, sometimes we think the Holy Spirit's going to come and empower us and take us, take over us and, you know, come and bring a Red Bull and flowers to us. He doesn't always do that. What he's doing, he's got a still voice that's telling us to stand up and to get passion back into our hearts and to push through our problems ourselves. You see, what the Holy Spirit doing is he's forming character in us. And sometimes we're waiting for Holy Spirit to come and to just do this amazing miracle in our lives. But the miracle is us being changed. The miracle is him building character and strength in us so that we can go and do the work of Christ. So all through that, what Jesus is doing is he is forming and fashioning such a strong character in us, and he's changing the attitude of our hearts that we can get through any problem. And when we get through a problem, we can help others get through a problem. So today is about the attitude of your heart. Sometimes we are sitting and waiting for Jesus just to come and intervene and Holy Spirit to come and intervene, when meantime he's telling you to get up and to do something. All right, now we'll get to the message. I just want to share two scriptures with you. So the message is about the attitude of your heart. And today we're going to check our hearts. Because I can tell you, depending on your heart, is going to determine your future. John 5. It says, you study the scriptures diligently, because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So I'm asking, where are you going? You could be in your scriptures, but where are you going to find life? I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. And I'm going to challenge us today, because you can say, I have. But I'm going to challenge us. We're going to dig deep into our hearts this morning and just see how much of the love of God is really in our hearts. In Proverbs 8, verse 17, the word says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Those who seek me find me. Colossians 2, 6 to 10 says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. What have you received? Christ Jesus as Lord. And I want to focus us back onto that. Continue pressing. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit is going to come and overwhelm you, change you, and take you. The Holy Spirit is in us, working mightily and powerfully, but he's challenging us to become the perfect man in Christ, to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthening the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it, and this is what I'm also going to touch on, it's a caution. See to it. You see to it. The Holy Spirit can't do it. He's guiding you, but it's up to you. That no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. And I was just talking to Thora. There's so much preaching on TV. There's so many conferences. There's so much videos. There's so much happening out there that we're not even getting to our Bibles anymore. I want to know who's bringing you up in the ways of the Lord, because it should be the Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you as you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Maybe you fixed your eyes on something else and we need to realign it. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So it's saying we get everything in Christ, the fullness of Christ. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. What does it say? And in Christ you are, you have. You have been brought to fullness in Christ. What else are you trying to do? All you need to do is go live out your life in Jesus Christ, because you are full and ready and complete in him right now. Yet we search, we wonder, we go here, we do this. Oh, when I arrive, it says we have been brought to fullness. He's the head over every power and authority. So what I'm going to do this morning is we're going to look at two people, two characters in the Bible. Both walked with Jesus very closely. Both knew him. Both sat under his word. Both went out. But they each had a different outcome. Very interesting. Because it was dependent on what they did with what they heard. Do we know who I'm talking about? So it's going to be a character study of the hearts of two men. One is known as a great disciple of the Lord. The other is known as a very evil man. When you compare the lives of these two men, you will find their lives were very alike. They had many parallel opportunities and characteristics. But in spite of this, they were entirely different in the outcome of their lives. We're all sitting here under the word, raising our hands, singing songs, worshiping Jesus Christ, but I can tell you, some of us are going to have different outcomes to others. So who am I talking about? David and Saul? Peter and Judas. All right. So let's look at these two characters. Let's do a bit of a character study. They both had opportunities to know right from wrong. They sat at the feet of Jesus. They were with him the whole time. They sat under his teaching. They had private times with him. They ate with him. They asked him questions. They listened to him at all times. They heard the good news. They were under the tutorship of Jesus, the greatest teacher that has ever lived. They walked and knew him personally. They beheld his miracles. They saw him healing every disease and sickness. They both experienced it. They realized the purpose of the miracles. In John 20:31, it says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Can you believe it? There's only a small portion of what Jesus did in our Bible, because it says this world couldn't contain the books that it would take to record everything that Jesus did. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And I'm going to delve into our hearts to see if you really believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Because here's two men with two different outcomes. These 12, all his disciples, Peter and Judas, were given power to work miracles. Peter and Judas went out and performed miracles. It says they healed the sick. Jesus gave them power to heal the sick, raise the dead, heal the lepers, and cast out demons. And they went out in his name and they did it. And Judas would have did it as well. You see, one of the passages that said, and Judas is probably going to meet Jesus. And Matthew 7:22 says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. So what separated them? Peter's going to arrive in heaven and he's going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Judas is going to hear, get away from me, you evildoer. So Peter and Judas had the same opportunities. They both made mistakes. Both of them, walking with Jesus. So we can look at some of the mistakes of Peter. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus. Jesus' face shines like the sun. His clothes as white as snow. Peter doesn't know what to do. He says, Master, Master, let me build three shelters here. He was confused, scared, didn't know what to do, didn't know what to say. Of course, God answers from heaven and says, this is my son who I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Peter wanted to do his own thing. He was going to make a mistake, build altars. God answered from heaven, this is my son whom I love. I'm well pleased with him. Listen to him. Jesus prophesied of his crucifixion. What did Peter say? Let's just read Matthew 16:21-23. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. Isn't it incredible? The very people that were preaching the gospel were going to kill Jesus. And that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord. He said, that shall never happen to you. You see, even Peter didn't quite understand Jesus. And I'm going to help us to understand Jesus, because if we don't see him for the right things, we're going to make mistakes. And we might get disappointed. And what did Jesus say to him? Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. He says, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. We're going to start to see the difference between Judas and Peter. He rebuked Peter straight away. You don't have the concerns of God in your mind, but human concerns. We've got to be careful of that. Peter had the right intentions here for Jesus, but he had merely human concerns on his mind. He made other mistakes. He got it wrong with the question of forgiveness. How many times should we forgive our brother? He drew his sword and cut off the right ear of Malchus. We all know the stories. Paul had to withstand Peter to his face regarding the treatment of the Gentiles. So Peter ate with the Gentiles. And when the Jews came along, Peter went and he ate with the Jews. And Paul rebuked him about that. And of course, the biggest mistake of all, he denied our Lord three times. Peter. So he made mistakes. But we're going to see what separated them. What was the difference between Peter and Judas? Because we all make mistakes. But it's something we need to do. Let's look at Judas. Judas stole from the money bag of the disciples. John 12:3-6. He says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Now, I just wanted you to see the heart of Peter, and I'd start to look at the heart of Judas. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him, and Lazarus was dead. He was now reclining at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the pure, to the poor? Why wasn't this perfume sold and given to the poor? Ooh, what a righteous attitude. The outside looked very good. Say the right things. Do the right things. It's worth a year's wages. But the word says he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Small amounts. But sometimes we, like Judas, take no account of little sins that are too small. They appear to be insignificant. However, they soon blossom into a trap that destroys us, just as it did Judas. Judas saw a way to make some fast money. Matthew 26:14. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" What are you willing to give me if I hand Jesus over to you? So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. I mean, you just think about that, selling Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. By the way, 30 pieces of silver would probably be about 3,000 rand today. Sold Jesus for 3,000. There's some debate, but it wasn't a large money. It was what you would pay for a slave. The question is, what are you willing to sell Jesus out for? Money? A better job? A new contract? A bigger car? Favor with people? You know, we look at Judas, who sold Jesus out. But I'm asking, do we sometimes sell him out and say to this world, what are you willing to give me in the place of Jesus? We need to check our hearts on this. You see, Peter and Judas were equally guilty. But it's not he who sins, but what we do with our sin. It is what we do with our sin that matters and counts, and what separated Peter and Judas. You see, Peter was zealous and he was passionate. He loved Jesus. Judas, on the other hand, was dishonest and greedy. So it's okay to make mistakes if your intentions and your attitudes are rightly aligned with Jesus. But we need to repent. And we need to ask for forgiveness for what we have done. So let's continue to look at the two lives of these two people. They were both warned. When they were having supper at a meal, and Peter asked John to ask Jesus, who's going to be the one that's going to betray? When Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. Because he said, one of you will betray me. And even Judas said, is it I? Even Judas wasn't sure at that time. He thought he was so right before Jesus. He didn't even know that Satan was going to enter him and he was going to betray Jesus. Is it going to be me, Lord? Peter was also warned, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. Even Peter said, Lord, I will never. I'll be with you. I'll go with you. Wherever you go. And Jesus says, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And we can say, wow, they had warnings. Both of them were warned. How could they make mistakes? Well, I want to read you a place where we've all been warned. Luke 21, 34. It says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Listen, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray, that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So we've been warned. Jesus is warning us. They both were remorseful because of their sins. They were both remorseful. So Judas, in Matthew 27, verse 1 to 5, it says, early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse. So it says here, Judas was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is it of this? They replied, that's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. Okay? So we're going to see. Judas ran to man and he never repented. And we're going to see what Peter did. So a strong lesson here is just being sorry for one's sin is not enough. Being sorry for one's sin is not enough. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. There's a difference. What we do with our sorrow, what we do with our remorses. Do we bring it to God and ask for forgiveness? Or do we just hold on to it, go to man, try to work it out ourselves? Judas became a coward by taking his own life. Often we give up. We get so discouraged because we don't know what's happening, we give up. Judas gave up and took his own life. He should have stood his ground and tried to make amends. Many, instead of confessing, try to hide or excuse their sins. So we need to check our hearts. How are we doing? What are we doing with our sins? Are we excusing it? Are we making excuses for it? He lost his Lord, he lost his money, and he lost his life. Let's look at Peter. Matthew 26, 75. So when after Peter had denied Jesus and he heard the rooster crow, Jesus looked at Peter. And then just before that, one of the maidservants said, you're one of the disciples of Jesus. Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. And then we're going to see what he did as well. So he wasn't just remorseful, he wept bitterly. He realized and understood what had happened. Peter went on to be a great disciple of the Lord. He preached the first gospel sermon where 3,000 were converted. He worked great miracles, including raising Dorcas from the dead. He was the first to open the way for the Gentiles. By inspiration, he left us two marvelous epistles, and he died a martyr. You see, we're going to see it was all down to the attitude of the heart that separated these two men who had the same opportunities like you and I. So what was the difference in the destiny of these two men? Let's have a look. What separated them? Peter truly repented and turned from his sin. He realized that only Jesus can take away my sins. If I repent before him and turn from them, he gives me everlasting life. Judas was remorseful, but not repented, and he ran to man. He went back to the priests, threw the money, and said, I've sinned. They said, what is that to us? He never ran back to Jesus. Peter had love in his heart for Jesus. Peter had love in the heart. We remember when Jesus returned, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, I do, Lord, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Take care of my sheep. A third time, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You see, Peter understood. You see my heart. You know, you tell me, Lord, do I really love you? You know it. And Jesus said, go feed my sheep. You see, Jesus looks into our heart. Judas had disappointment in his heart towards Jesus. Judas had disappointment in his heart towards Jesus. You see, Judas was a zealot. And the zealots were very caught up in the economical, social, and political condition of the country. And what Judas was doing is he realized he missed it. He was expecting Jesus to set up his kingdom on earth and bring peace here to earth. And Jesus will do that in his second coming. But right now, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, in this time you'll have many trials and tribulations. You see, Jesus didn't bring peace on earth this time. He brought peace between man and God. And if we're looking for him to bring peace here on earth now, we're going to miss it. He's brought peace in our hearts between man and God. But we will have trials and we will have tribulations. And Judas was a zealot, so he was expecting Jesus to come and overthrow Rome and to come and to set up his kingdom. And Judas will be with him and one of those that will rule and reign. And he kept on expecting Jesus to do certain things in his lives, which Jesus never did because he was looking at the wrong things in Jesus. And sometimes we are expecting Jesus to do certain things in our lives and to sort out certain things in our lives, and we're going to miss it and get disappointed because that's not what Jesus said. We need to know what Jesus said to us so that we can expect the right things from Jesus, and we will always turn to him, we will always run to him, we'll always be repentant for our sins. So what are you expecting Jesus to do in your life? Have you given him everything, or are you expecting him still to do certain things which he's never promised in your life and you're disappointed? Peter admitted he was a sinner. Jesus preached on his boat, preached to the multitude, and then he said to Peter, put out your boat into the deep and throw in your nets. He said, Lord, we've been fishing the whole night, we've caught nothing. Jesus said, but because you said it, Lord Jesus, I'll go do it. He went out, he threw out his net, and there was so much fish that the nets were broken. What did Peter do? He fell down at Jesus' knees and said, Lord, depart from me, I am a sinner. I am a sinful man, and I am in the presence of the righteous God. That's what he meant when he said all of that. Have you ever realized that you are a sinner, and Jesus is righteous, and you've fallen at his feet and said, I am a sinner, and I need you. I cannot fix myself, as Judas thought he could. Go and fix everything. Start a rebellion so that Jesus would start to overthrow the Roman Empire so that he can set up his kingdom, trying to do it himself, trying to read things which Jesus wasn't going to do. Peter said, I am a sinner, and I need you, Jesus. He left everything to follow. Judas never admitted he was a sinner. You never see that. Peter left everything to follow Jesus. In a few times, he said, I've left everything to follow you. He had a revelation of who Jesus was. Judas was watching Jesus rather than following. He was looking to understand Jesus through knowledge, not through revelation. We know when Jesus said to the disciples in Caesarea, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say another prophet." He said, "Okay, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Have you had a revelation of who Jesus is in your life? Do you realize that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God that takes away the sins of the world? And he's coming to fetch us because he's redeemed us. You see, Peter was ready to serve Jesus. Judas was waiting to be served by Jesus. A lot of us are following Jesus to be served. What do I get out of it? What do I get? Thank you, Jesus. I follow you. I get this. See, Peter wanted to be served by Jesus. When Jesus was washing the feet, he said, "No, never, Lord. Don't wash my feet. Surely don't wash my feet. I should be washing yours." He was ready to serve. And lastly, Peter looked forward to everlasting life. Peter was looking to the life he had after. He realized that it wasn't about now. Where Judas was looking now, he wanted Jesus to change the world as we know it now, to bring peace to this world. Peter realized that he hasn't brought peace to this world now, but he's brought peace in my heart. He's brought comfort, and he's coming, and I'm going to receive everlasting life. You see, Peter realized the big picture is my Lord has saved me, and he's coming for me, and he's going to take me. Judas said, "What are you doing now for me? You're not doing anything now." So I'm asking this morning, do you see any of Judas in your heart? Because you need to do something about it. I had to look at this, and I had to look at a few things and test my heart. Do you understand who Jesus is? Have you had a revelation that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God? And he's the only one that can take away our sins. We can't fix them, we can't hide them, we can't make excuses for them. Have you come to the conclusion that we need to fall down his feet and say, "I am a sinner, take away my sins, Lord. Wash me clean, make me new." And then, are you looking to the future, to the everlasting kingdom? Pushing through the problems of now, the trials, the tribulations, which Jesus said we will have, but looking to the future, saying, "You coming, Lord. You promised you would fetch me and take me." And yes, Jesus is going to come, and he is in his second coming going to bring peace to this earth and set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And we are waiting for that, and we are longing for that. And we're going to rule and reign with him there with him. That's something glorious to look for. But right now, he's our Lord, he's our Messiah, and we need him. And we need to look at him for who he is, not through expectations. So I'm going to ask, as we close now and do some ministry, I want to ask, do you feel there's some of Judas in your heart? Has Jesus disappointed you, maybe, because you've been looking at the wrong things? Have you got impatient with Jesus because he hasn't done what you're expecting him to do now? Are you expecting Jesus to change your world when you're expecting, you're supposed to be changing the world for Jesus? Have you got a little bit rebellious against Jesus in your heart? Have you been rather watching Jesus than being committed to Jesus? Are you just going through the motions and being an experienced Christian instead of just laying down your life for the one that laid down his life for us? So if that's you, I want you to stand up and we're going to pray. If you feel that your heart needs a bit of realigning, if you feel you need a revelation of who Jesus really is, if you think maybe Jesus has disappointed me, maybe I've been expecting something different from Jesus and I need to lay that down and say, "Jesus promised me that he's given me everlasting life and that's it, and I'll go out and I'll make disciples, but he's with me and comforting me." If you've got something in your heart that you know is not right before Jesus and you need to change your attitude of your heart, I want you to stand. If you've sold yourself out and you've said, world, what are you willing to give me in place of Jesus? And you've willingly given your time and expertise at the cost and behalf of Jesus, you maybe also need to stand. If you've said, what have I sold out? Am I seeking other things and pursuing other things and selling out Jesus? Think about it. If it's you, then stand. All right. So if you're standing, I can't pray these things for you. What you need to do is just pray and ask God for forgiveness, and you realign your heart. You see, I can pray for healing, I can pray for sickness, but one thing that we can only do for ourselves is say, Lord, I am a sinner, and I've wronged you in some ways, and my heart is not right, and I want to change it right now before you. I want to be a Peter, not a Judas. Then we're going to give you 2 minutes now just to close your eyes and to pray. Commit it to Jesus right now. Amen. God is good. Just like that, we are changed. Just like that, we are justified. Just like that, we are in the presence of the living God. Just like that, our guilt is taken away. Just like that, our shame is no more. I want to pray over us as we close. Do you want to share that? Okay, somebody with varicose veins, we'll pray for that now. Peter changed the world for Jesus. And I was sitting there, I was looking across here, this church, us here sitting here, can change this place for Jesus. It doesn't take anyone else. We don't need to have everyone else or get, we were watching a documentary on Billy Graham, what a man. Wow, I was blown away at this documentary on how simple he preached. But we don't even need him. You and I, here, right now, us. Do you know that we can change this nation? We can definitely change Modderfontein. We can probably change this country, this nation, us. We can definitely change Modderfontein, you and I. If our hearts are lined up for Jesus and saying, Lord, I'm going, my passion is going to push past problems in my life. Let's get our passion and zeal back. So I'm going to pray if anyone's got varicose veins. Let's pray for you. And anything else, any other disease, we're going to bind them right now. Finished with those things. But guess what? If Jesus doesn't heal it, he's still building character in you. And you need it. But we'll pray for healing. Father, we thank you that if our hearts are right and if we have overcome, you will bring our healing and you will bring our passion and our zeal. And Father, I pray if anyone's got varicose veins, if anyone's got hurting back, if anyone's got a disease or a hurt, you will remove it from them right now in Jesus' name. Father, you'll bring them comfort because you said you will be with us and you will comfort us. So may you comfort that person, Father, but we do pray for healing because we know that you are our God and you do work in our midst and we are your people to go and change this world, Lord. And Father, we thank you that we are sinners, but you've made us righteous because we've come to you, because we've cried down, we've laid down at your feet, and we've said, we are sinners, but you are the holy God. How wonderful you are. And you've washed away our guilt and our shame, and you've made us new. And we have risen in the power of your resurrection, and we have the Holy Spirit making us different, building our character, strengthening us, making us everything that we can be. And we're going to go out from this place, and we're not going to be discouraged, and we're not going to be disappointed, and we're not going to be downcast. We're going to be passionate, and we're going to be zealous, and we're going to be filled for you and what you are doing, Father. And every situation and circumstance, we're actually going to take power over there. We're going to change those situations. And as Thora was sharing for me, we're going to pick up those swords that you gave us. We've been leaving those swords down there for the enemy to pick up and to use. Well, we're taking our swords back right now. We're taking our weapons back from the enemy this day, this morning. We're taking the weapons that Jesus, you've given us, and we're going to go fight a mighty battle for you. We're going to go into the dark realms of this world, and we're going to save souls for you, Jesus. We're going to set the captives free. You gave us a sword, not to bring peace here on earth, but to set the captives free, that people may know you, and that man may have peace with his God again. So we thank you what you're doing in our hearts this morning. Our hearts are changed. Take our hard hearts and give us hearts of flesh. Take those hearts of stone and give us hearts where your words are written on them. We thank you for an amazing day. We thank you for an amazing time. We thank you for an amazing life. And we're so eager for your return, Jesus, when we'll see you and be with you, and you will say, good and faithful servants, well done. Amen. Amen. So we're closing. Not the meeting, not our lives, not our fellowship, but the preach. Please join us for tea and coffee up there. Let's continue to minister to each other and enjoy each other and see Robbie and Brad about the night ride, Thora for women, and let's just mingle in fellowship. Judy for Strathaven. Amen.